go to Acts chapter 7, and we stopped at verse 11. Oh, wait till you turn that. Okay. Acts, I guess we don't have the... Yeah, we have everything, don't we? Yeah, we're looking for everything. Okay. Acts chapter 7, we began with verse 11. Let's read Acts 7, 11, 12, and 13 together. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. All right. Verse 11. This is speaking of who? Who's the one that's speaking here and giving the testimony? All right. Luke is the writer, all right. And he's writing about whom? Who's testifying in his writing there concerning this history? Well, yes, that's true. But I mean, who's in the New Testament that is speaking about these things? Who's the one that is narrating this to the council? Well, Paul is coming on a little bit later in chapter 9, and he'd be saying, no. But in verse, yeah, Luke is talking about, that's true, but you remember the persecution in verse 8 of the preceding chapter 6, 8, it's talking about what apostle?
Stephen.
Okay, this is Stephen's reply, and this is Stephen's answer to the council, and he talks
this
about...
Is right where we are.
That's right, reading about that very thing, isn't it? And so in Acts chapter 7, verse 11, talks about the dearth, and what would that be, the dearth? The famine was there in Egypt, and also Canaan, and great affliction. Why would affliction be following the dearth? Starving certainly would bring all kinds of affliction. When you're hungry, your bodies, I guess the stomachs float up sometimes, don't they? There's all kinds of maladies and pain and terrible things. And then the fathers found no sustenance. What would be the fathers here? Who would they be? What would the reference be to the fathers? Why the patriarchs? Why Abraham and Isaac? Oh, let me just be sure. Well, oh yes, we've got the most handsome and most beautiful people in our audience here this today. Oh, we have two people, that's right. So anyway, the fathers found no sustenance, of course, no food and all. And then Jacob heard about what? What did he hear, and what was the message that he heard when he was so hungry? And how many sons did he have there in Canaan land? Hi, son, come in. How many sons did he have there back there? Come in, son. How you doing?
Hi.
Girls, yes, we've got a private audience here. Adrian and Nari, are you? Nari and Adrian? Are you coming?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we got the trio. That's good. I'm glad to see the Nascati trio. To hear we're in Acts chapter 7, and makes a better picture, especially with some beautiful young ladies. Oh, excuse me. We got the beautiful lady here and the beautiful young ladies here. Acts chapter 7 and verse 11, we're talking verse 12. So the Jacob heard, what did he hear? What news did he hear? Was it good news or bad news? God told him. All right, he was way over in Palestine area, right over here, and he heard from Egypt, way over there, that there was land. Now, what sort of means of communication did they have, do you suppose? How did they hear this? Caravan, traders, somebody came from Egypt and told them there's corn. You know, good news travels fast. They ran through the... Down this way? Here, the King's Highway there. But they came over there. Good news travels fast, but so does bad news, I'm afraid, doesn't it? Bad news also travels fast. So they heard about it, and there was corn and food enough in Egypt. And so to Joseph, he heard that the fathers, he sent out our fathers first. Now, what fathers did he send out when Jacob heard this in verse 11 or 12? Who were the fathers that he sent out first? Who were the... Everyone but Benjamin, so there were 11. And, of course, Joseph was already... No, wait a minute, let me see. It must be 10. Yes, because Joseph was already here. He'd been sold into Egypt, and so the 10 went down there first. And then in verse 13, where was Joseph when his brothers came to him? What was his position? All right, do you know what was he doing, Joseph? Was he in Egypt? Was he still in the dungeon? No, he'd been released to the dungeon, and now where is he now? Well, he oversaw all of what Pharaoh had, and so what might he be called?
Vice president,
all right, vice regent. Pharaoh was the only one higher than he, and he was distributing all of the grain and the corn and everything. So so Joseph was the man in charge of all this food.
He mentioned it. With Adel, Joseph had prepared himself.
That's right. That's right. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. They wouldn't have had this store. They wouldn't have had the food. And so the Redeemer, through Judah, would, well, the Lord could have made other means, but I mean, this was the means of protecting the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman and the progeny and the ancestors. So it went out. Now, Joseph, did he make himself known to his brothers immediately? Why did his brothers not understand and know him? Approximately how old was Joseph when he was sold in Egypt? Wasn't he about 17? That's the figure that sticks in my mind. He was 17, he came down, and he was there for a number of years. He was in his probably late 20s, early 30s. Even if he were, say, 25 or 30, why wouldn't his brothers recognize him? All right, dressed in Egyptian garb? They thought he was killed. I mean, they didn't know what happened to him. All they knew, they sold him to this man, this slave trader, a Midianite, and went down there. And further, were they expecting to see this man in charge? But remember, what dream did Joseph have that put him in charge when he was way back in Canaan? Bow down the sheaves, and then the sun, moon, and the stars would bow down on him. So these were the brothers, and they were angry because of his dreams. So here he was in charge, and they had to bow down to this ruler in Egypt. Yes, that's right. Land the handmaids, that's right. Right? He's a favored one. And what did Jacob mistakenly do to show his favor to him? That's true, that's one way. What other way did he manifest his favor to him? What was it, Lois? That's right. That's called a coat of many colors. And this was a special thing. And so they took his coat and brought it back. That's the very coat that they put the goat's blood or some other animal's blood on to show Jacob. Look, Jacob, see what has done. The foul beasts have destroyed him. They were lying, of course. So, but then he was made known. It says the second time was. What about the first time? What happened the first time when his brothers went down? Did his brothers go down more than once for Egypt food? Yes, they went down at least twice. The second time, that's when he was made known. And the kindred made known unto Pharaoh, too. So he introduced them to Pharaoh. And then in verse 14, let's read 14, 15, and 16 of Acts 7. 14, verse starting there. Then sent Joseph, and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and they were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money, the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Let's see, did we read 14, 15, and 16? Is that right? Yes, all right. So Joseph asked his father Jacob to come down to Egypt. Was Jacob originally favorable to that, or what was his attitude? Did he want to go down there? No, he didn't at first, but then the Lord revealed something to him, said, fear not to go down to Egypt, I think is what he said. And so he came down. Yes, that's right. And unless Benjamin comes, you can't get any more food that second time. And how did Joseph help his father and his entourage to come down to Egypt? What did he send to them to help him? Money and what else? Wagons, that's right. And so he brought them down with wagons and came. And so the second time is made known, and called him his father, and all his kindred. What does 75 add up to? 75, that's right. Now, there's a footnote in the Old School for Reference Bible. No contradiction, imagine. The 70, house of Jacob numbered 70, but the kindred would include the wives of and Jacob's sons and different things. And so, and Joseph, of course, was already there. So a lot of people said, well, see, 75, and there should be 70, but you've got to add the children and other and Joseph as well. So there's no contradiction. It's a lot of people to transport. And then in verse 15, Jacob went down, and what did he do down there? What did he do, according to verse 15? He kicked the bucket. All right. He died. Remember, he said to Pharaoh how many years he has. He told him how old he was, and he said, few and evil have been the years of thy servant. Remember? Few and evil, something to that effect. But he died, and where did Pharaoh put the Israelites? Remember what land? Land of Goshen. There, and because they were shepherds, and it says, what about the Egyptians? Did they like shepherds real well, the Egyptians? All right. All right, so they specifically said, you say that you're sheep herders and farmers and cattle, you have a lot of cattle, and the Pharaoh will send you to Goshen, special land. So that's what happened. No, yes. But land for sheep. So it was really one of the finest places they could have gone. And so Pharaoh was cooperative with Joseph and his brethren. And then in verse 16, and when he died, what happened when Jacob died? What did Joseph and his brothers do to the body? Okay, they went back to Canaan, didn't they? Now, the question I always have had is, if they're in Egypt, they go all the way back over here to Canaan to bury Joseph, bury Jacob. Why didn't they take everybody and stay back there? See, there was no, was there any famine here at that time? Was there any famine afterwards? After it took a number of years and there was plenty and everybody was fine. I don't know why they didn't stay, but they didn't. And you remember when they went back in the land, all the people in Shechem, or Shechem, it says here, Shechem in the Old Testament, they all wondered, look, there's Egyptians here, all dressed in Egyptian garb and everything, and they had their burial. That's where Sarah was, wasn't it? And the cave of Machpelah that was bought by the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. All right, and so they went back, and he bought it for some money. Now, by the way, yes, Bonnie? I'm sure that was the case. He was still the head man, said he could take care of things, and I'm not sure of the status of the famine at that time, whether it was still on or wasn't on. But it's interesting, they made that trip, and yet they went back to the land. But we'll see later, in the next verse 17, why there was a delay and why they went back into the land. Let's read 17, 18, and 19 together. Possibly. He would have to be, wouldn't he, to be carried back that distance. Otherwise, he would really, in Spanish, huele mal. It smells bad. Huele mal. It's oler. Yes, Ma? Oh, yeah. So, it is true that Joseph, when he died, it says in the last verse, the last chapter, he was embalmed in a coffin in Egypt. That's the end of the book. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the beginning of Genesis. And in a coffin in Egypt was the end. So death was there at the end of Genesis, and that was Joseph. So undoubtedly, that was the Egyptian way of burying their dead, wasn't it? It wasn't the Israelitish way. What's their way of burying? Spices? Wrapped up, and was it in embalming? No. Buried immediately as soon as possible. And that's the way that the Jews bury, even, I guess, the Orthodox, even today, don't they? I think anybody know about the Orthodox method of burial today? Immediate? No embalming? Is this correct? Rosanne, do you know that? And probably the stone was limestone. There's a certain stone that eats away the bodies faster than other. I think it was lime, but I'm not sure. And that's why they called the place where they put the bodies a sarcophagus. Because sarx is flesh, and phago is to eat. It's a flesh-eating thing. It's a thing that eats the flesh. And so that may be what you're referring to. Put them in those stone places, and then when they're decayed, they put others in and take away the bones. That's right. They were feeling no pain, like some people we know. Sarcophagus, S-A-R-C-O-P-H-A-G-U-S, sarcophagus. You know what I have to do is put something sticky here so it doesn't slip off there. Sarcophagus, S-A-R-C, thank you, Will. Sarcophagus, maybe it isn't, okay. Thank you, Will. we're getting back now. Notice in verse 17, did we read 17, 18, 19? We haven't read that. Right, let's read 17, 18, and 19 together. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. All right, now, notice verse 17. It said in verse 5, he gave him, speaking of Abraham, none inheritance in it. No, not so much as set his foot in. They promised that he would give it to him after, for possession and to his seed after him. See, he didn't give him in a possession, but in verse 17, it tells the time of the promise. How many years was it between the time Abraham went in and left Egypt, I should say, left for Egypt, and the time when they came back into the land? About 400 years. And so it says, when the time of the promise drew nigh. Is God's timing always the same as ours? No. Do we want to go faster or slower than the Lord's? It depends. If we're going to be dying, we'd like to stay a few more years maybe, just to finish our work, whatever the work is. But if we're going to inherit $1 million, we'd like to have it today instead of, right? So hasten certain things. Good news. See? But there's a promise that there's a time. Remember Galatians 4, 4 and 5, when the fullness of the time was come? God sent forth his Son. But there's a fullness of the time. God's time is not always our time. But when the time drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, then what happened to the people in Egypt in verse 17? Were they really bad off in some ways? In verse 17, what happened to these Israelites in Egypt after the famine was all over? Doing well? They increased? They multiplied? So they must have had enough food, you know, and they must have been doing something right. Then in verse 18, what is this about? Another Pharaoh, another king, knew not Joseph. Now that's interesting. That is what we many times say when a new pastor comes into a church, for example, and so on. They don't know anything about the history, what's going on in the past, and so all is new. Everything's new. Fresh start, and another king arose which knew not Joseph. So, wonder why they have this in here. What was there about the other king, Pharaoh, who did know Joseph? How was he different than this king? And why was he different? Was he different? Yes, he was different. He liked Joseph. Why did he like Joseph? Raised in his household, and he knew him, and he interpreted the dream, and he had confidence in him. His other king, you see, sometimes you can have one leader have confidence in you, another leader comes and you're dust and no good and you're worthless. Am I right? People don't have the same opinions of us always. If they don't know us, or sometimes those that know us best hate us the most, right? If they really know the ins and outs of things, the good points and bad points. But they didn't know Joseph, and therefore, they, verse 19, what did they do? What did this king do to the Israelites? That he, yes. Yes, another king, the Lord Jesus himself. That's a good point. Depart from me, I knew ye not. But haven't we cast out devils in thy name? And haven't we done miracles in thy name? Depart, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Right, another king. Furthermore, there's another king yet who's going to come that pretends to be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and his name is what? Antichrist. And he's going to come and appear, and the whole world will follow him and be deceived, except those, of course, that know the difference, that are saved through the intermediary evangelistic efforts of those 144,000 Jews in the tribulation period who will be saved. And so then, what happened then after the king didn't know Joseph? Verse 19. What was the result of this evil king, this negative king? What did he do with the Stephen's forebears, the Jews, in verse 19? He abused them, all right? Evil entreaty means to abuse them. And what did he do with their children? And why? What did he do with their children? What did this Pharaoh do with the Israelitish children, especially the boys? Murder them, cast them out, they might not live. What was Moses' part in this? Was he also to be cast out as far as Pharaoh was concerned? Did his mother cast him out? No, his mother spared him. And how did the mother spare his life? Little basket, little ark, little basket, and put him in the Nile River. And I suppose put him somewhere where she knew that maybe Pharaoh's daughter would come, and she did come and found him. How did the Pharaoh's daughter recognize that there was a baby there? Jewish maid. And how else do you think she recognized that? Caught her? Did it catch her eye or catch her ear? Moses. Her ear. How? Why? He cried. The baby cried. Then, as Will said, this is one of the Hebrew children, because they could see the basket weaving, the costume, the garment that the little baby was on. And she took him and raised her up to be his own. Now, another thing about this. Yeah, Bonnie? Sarcophagus? That's good. So you got the biblical verse for what we thought was happening. Specifically, he was embalmed. So why the physicians in Egypt. Thank you, honey.
Verse 19. All right. Luke wrote that position, a young
children were preborns. Yes. That's in verse 19. The young children, he says the same one that Luke has for the brephos, I think is the word for the babe. And so that's true. Now also, what did the midwives do? Did they follow the edict to kill all the male children? What did they do, the midwives? Remember in that book of Exodus, they feared God and not the king, and so they disobeyed. That's how Moses was spared, and others were spared. And then what was? That's what they're stayed to. That, so we couldn't stop. Yeah. Well, that could be, or else right waiting till they did deliver. Until so the midwives Shufa and Pua, I believe the name. I can't remember exactly. This is my mind. Pua, because when I preached on this or talked about it somewhere, we were in Massachusetts, and of course they say Shua and Pua, you know, Shua for sure. You know, they don't put their R's in the end. So anyhow, whatever the names were, they didn't obey the edict of the king, and so they tried to kill these young children. All right, let's read 20, 21, 22 together. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. All right, so verse 20. Moses was born in what type of a time again? What's this a reference to? At which time? What were the conditions? Time of the murder of the babies. What about the Lord Jesus? What time was he born? Was there a repeat of this? And what was the edict there? Herod the Great wanted to kill the babies, and the wise men came, and the shepherds came. Who came at the birth of Jesus, and who came when he was a young child? The shepherds or the wise men? The shepherds were first at the birth. And then at the young child, when they were... Where was the Lord Jesus when the shepherds came? Where was he? What type of dwelling? He was in the manger. And what type of dwelling was he in when the wise men came? In the house. And so the wise men went to Herod and said, "We have come to see the weed that is born king of the Jews." What was Herod's question of the wise men? And we've seen his star in the east, and he asked about what particular thing about that star, you remember? When did you see that star? When did it appear? And then they told him, and probably based upon that, whom did he slay? Whom did Herod slay? Based upon evidently the time of the two and under, see? The boys two and under. So, well, but children, but I think it's masculine, see? So I think it's the masculine, but it's the children, young children, and... slew them. And how did Mary and Joseph know to get the Lord Jesus out of the area? The angel spoke to him and said, "Get thee out." Yes, real. Mm-hmm. Well, I think 4 B.C. That's I've always thought of it, but I really haven't studied it out. Well, I'm open to reason. Before 6 B.C., a couple years before.
That's only figuring out what I've done
for study. Yeah, well, it's possible.
I've never heard anybody else say that.
Yeah. Of course, if he died in 4 B.C., this Herod, this could have been one of his last acts, you know, because the year is 12 months. Yeah, you're right. He's 2 years old. You're right. It'd be about 2 years old, or at least 1 year old, yes.
I think he wanted to read Herod chose too and underlisted a couple.
Maybe so. So you're thinking you're pushing back 2 years from 4 back to 6 B.C. Well, that's possible. No, that's true. But I don't know the secular history. Are they pretty sure that Herod died in 4 A.D. B.C.? Yeah, I see. They got the actual date. Yeah, well, it's interesting.
No.
Well, you are a brain, and that's why you figured it out. Ask Lois Ann. She knows. She knows that you're a brain. And she's a brain, too. See, they were school teachers, both of them. And you can't teach school unless you have some brains. She still is. She's teaching her children, aren't you? Your grandchildren. And so anyway, be that as it may. This Moses was born in this time, and what type of a baby was he? Was he anemic? Was he ugly? Was he skinny, like some of our babies might be? Handsome, that's right, handsome, fair, exceedingly. And how long was he in Pharaoh's house? Well, 3 months. Now, excuse me, in his father's house. I'm sorry, in his father's house. Yeah, so his mother, what was his mother's name? Begins with a J. Jochebed, that's right, Jochebed. And do we know his father's name? I'm not sure that we know his father. Amram, that's right. Moses and Aaron were the sons of Amram. All right, thank you, honey. I slipped my coffee. Now, so he was nursed up in his father's house 3 months. Now, do you think he learned anything in 3 months? He was homeschooled, wasn't he? That's a good... That's right. If he cried, what would happen? Could be reported, they could kill him, see? Because remember, the Jews were not to have any boy babies. They were to be killed. Why did Pharaoh want to kill the boys, not the girls? The servants, the girls, warriors, all right? They could be warriors. They could fight against the Pharaoh if they were living, right? They could rebel. They didn't want any rebellion, so kill all the would-be soldiers. They didn't have a women's army like they have now in some countries, and even the United States of America, which I don't belong with those women's armies. But it be that as it may. So 3 months he was nursed up. Yes, Ma?
Oh,
yes, I know. So she was careful. But in the 3 months, it's interesting. Why was he allowed to be at his mother's home for 3 months? Remember in Exodus? What was the reason? Why? Why did he get back? Pharaoh's daughter found him. How did he get back to be immersed? And what was her request? What was Pharaoh's daughter's request? No, even before, when she got the baby, what was Pharaoh's daughter? What did Pharaoh's daughter ask? Yes, that's right. Miriam, the sister, was there watching that baby, watching that basket to see what happened. And so Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes, get me one of the nurses from the Israelites." And so his own mother was the one that nursed him and brought him up. And then in verse 22, was he an ignoramus, Moses? What do we know about his brain, or at least his training? Did he know anything? Schooled, all right. And what type of schooling did he have? Egyptian, all right.
Uh-huh.
I would think so, because he certainly had a stand, his first education, even before Egyptian. Now, it says 3 months, and I don't know whether she was longer than 3 months, or went back and forth. I mean, I don't know, see, his education at his mother's house. Actually, and then afterwards, yeah, I guess that's my friend nurse. You're right. Yes, it brought up in his father's house 3 months. You're right. And then discovered and then went back 3 months old when he's in the little car. Yeah. And then you're right, Willow Sands, 2 or 3 years of nursing and nursing. So it could be even 4 years. So, yes, that's right. Now, I don't know at what time they can really understand things, but, you know, toddlers can toddle around, can understand a lot of things, and you have nursery school, and you got another nursery, you know, a lot of things. And he did know enough things that he knew that the God of Israel, he knew his own Jehovah, didn't he?
You keep saying going back. Do you know that when Miriam took over, that she went back to her? I think she went back to Pharaoh's house.
To Pharaoh's house?
The daughter.
Yes, that could be. So brought the nurse to the house. So
brought Miriam to that. Miriam, but she didn't know Miriam was on her, but brought Miriam.
Yeah, in other words, it could be that instead of moving Muhammad to the mountain, they moved the mountain to the Muhammad. You mean something like that? Yes, so I think that's probably the case. We'll have to have Dan operate on that thing.
Why would she let those accurate?
So you think you could have gone. Never care for a check. Okay, so either way, in her own house or in the house of the palace, it says in Exodus, let's take a heap of place here. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2 and see what exactly the words that Pharaoh's daughter had. Did she say, bring me a nurse or go get a nurse? If he said, what verse? Chapter 2 verse 8? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're right. She went back to her own home into Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. At the right time. It could have been more than 3 or 4. It could be 5 or 6. Well, but you see, well, if that's the case, in verse 10, you wouldn't have any meaning because with the child, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, there's a separate place. Well, that could be. That could be, but take her away. Probably back home. Yes, she brought him there. So you see, you would not have to necessarily limit the time the mother had him to only 2 or 3 years. It could be 4, 5, or 6. In other words, after she finished nursing, she'd still be there and bring him up and nurture him, and then he became her son. So, all right, that take away and bring her to me, it seems to be indicate, as Lois. Mm-hmm. All right. And Miriam. Yeah, they grew up with the parents, I think, because they had to be there away with the parents, because when, who? Yeah, special help and assistance in that matter. So the father saw 3 months, and we're in 21, are we? Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nursed him for her own son. but that was after the mother had really nourished him and brought him up properly. That he's learned in verse 22 and the wisdom of Egyptians, and that says he's mighty in words and deeds. What's the difference? And which one are you? Are you different in neither, or are you the same in both? Mighty in words, mighty in deeds. Verse 22. Deeds. He had a lot of deeds. He had a lot of things to do, and so on. But there's something happened in verse 23. Let's read, I think we stopped at 22, did we not? But he was skilled. He was a man of letters. Do some of the moderns say Moses couldn't even write? Some of the liberals say that Moses was so ignorant he couldn't even write. Could Egyptians write, do you think? Sure. And so if he's learning all the wisdom of Egypt, and we see in the book of Hebrews, he forsook Egypt, didn't he? Abraham, and was... Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's what indicates from Dr. Hovind, doesn't it? He feels that Moses was the compiler, but he had the different sources and so on, but he compiled the book of Genesis, and not necessarily the author. But no, in fact, I asked him that. He called me. See, about 4 weeks ago, I called Dr. Hovind's office because I wanted to ask him permission to make tapes. He'd already granted permission to make the videos, as long as you don't sell them and give them away. No problem there, but he didn't say he could make the cassettes. He said, sure, go ahead, no problem. I can't hold him. You might be so. He said that that's the only thing that I'd question. I listened to all three of those videos, you know, the 6 hours each. The only thing I had a question on, and I didn't know whether I believed him or not, but he says Moses did not write Genesis. He compiled it. He was the compiler, but he had sources, etc. Well, so 4 weeks ago I called, I wanted to ask him, and I left a message to have him call me back. Just yesterday, the day before yesterday, he called me back, about 4 weeks later. Now, I'd already solved the problem because I called someone else and got the answer, or he'd already talked to me. He was out in his tractor at the time, and he came back from the tractor, and he talked to me. He said, go ahead and use the audio tapes. But just the other day, he called me back and said, I understand you called. Do you want me to call back? I said, well, that was swell. But while I had him on the line, I asked him, you mentioned that Moses was not the author of Genesis, but just he compiled it from sources. I think he says 12 different sources or whatever. And that's his belief. And I said, well, didn't the Lord Jesus say about the Pentateuch that Moses wrote of me? And he said, that's true, but there's always Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but not Genesis that the Lord quoted from. See, so in other words, Moses did write the others, but then he compiled the others, which is... It's interesting. He just wanted to clarify that. See, so well, obviously he wasn't there at the creation, so the Lord had to tell him what to write as far as Genesis 1, 1, 2, 3. I mean, until he was born, all these things. But the Lord could have revealed that to him as well as have. That's right. Exactly. See, was Adam an ignoramus? Was he a caveman type? No. And what evidences do we have that Adam was smart? All those animals. That's right. And he's very, very smart indeed. And so these are fictitious things to say that people were Neanderthal, couldn't write, and they couldn't read. But anyway, he was educated in all the wisdom of Egypt. He could write, and he was mighty in words and in deeds. Let's read 23, 4, and 5 together. And when he was full 40 years old, he became unto his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. All right, so verse 23. How long was he in Pharaoh's house before he left? How old was he? 40 years old. So 40 minus however many years he was with his mother, 2 years, 3 years, 4, 5, whatever. He was in Pharaoh's house and brought up and nourished. 40 years old. Am I right? No, he was full 40 years old at that time. What I'm saying is, how long was he in the house? If he's 40, if he's 40, yeah. Depending on what Lois Ann feels is the time, whether the nursing, whether the other, whatever, you know, 4 years, 5 years. But you see, it would not have to, it could be beyond that. Do you agree with that? It could be beyond the nursing time. He could have still stayed with his mother till he was, you know, up and coming and more mature and stronger, and then went into Pharaoh's house. Anyway, full years, what was his plan, and why was his plan in verse 23? What did he find that was wrong, and why did he do as he did in verse 23 and 24? What made him do what he did? The Lord, all right? What was this business? It came into his heart. What does that mean? To visit his brethren. He had burden. Did he know he was the brethren? See, that he had to know that they were Israelites the same as he. Yes, Vine? Miriam? Jacobed? Possibly. Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Exposed, I guess, as a baby that was crying. Maybe that's what it was. That's a footnote. You see what I mean? In other words, obviously, he couldn't be there in that bulrush quiet all of his life. He had to get hungry or whatever. Yes, Bob? Well, see, he knew his pedigree. You remember in the book of Esther, was Esther's pedigree known at the time of her being exalted to the king? When she was Queen Esther, did the king know who she was, or that she was a Jew? No. So it was quiet until they wanted to kill the Jews, and then it was brought up. Here, did Pharaoh know and his daughter know that this was a Jewish baby? Yes, they did, right from the start, from the beginning. Well, it probably was. I'm sure his mother saw to that at the 8 days, usually, is when they circumcised the males. And then they came in his heart to visit his brethren. Now, where was he before he went out to visit his brethren? All right. He was in the palace, wasn't he? And he had a plush situation, and there's no problem there. And what did he find when he went out to visit these brethren in verse 24? What was happening? Now, why were the brethren there? The Pharaoh, it was to replace, he didn't know Joseph, and so he's making them build probably the treasure cities, they call them, Ramesses and various other things, the treasure cities, and maybe the pyramids, you know, I don't know. They were slaves, weren't they? And so what was happening to this Israelite in verse 24? And who was making him sad or harmed? What was happening to this Israelite? No, he was being what? Beaten by an Egyptian, probably the Egyptian there that was. And so what did Moses do? It doesn't say in detail verse 24, but we know from Exodus. What did Moses do to this Egyptian? Killed him, all right. And avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. And he smote him till he died, actually. And then in verse 25, what did he think the brethren would have done? And what did they do? Oh, that's right. He thought they'd be glad that here was somebody that was mean and ugly and hurting and harming, maybe beating them. I don't know what he was doing to them. Now, did he tell?
I could not be Christian. Goodbye. They stood by.
They just stood by and just let it go.
Well,
apparently Moses told them something, just like Joseph told him something. Remember, of his brothers, he said, "You're going to bow down to me." And he told them the situation. That's what made them mad, right? What did Moses evidently tell these brethren in verse 25? I'm one of you. What else did he say to them?
Okay,
they're brothers, all right. What else do you think he told? Verse 25.
That's right.
What else do you think he told? What did he say he was going to be that God made him to be? Yes. See, he told them, "I'm going to be your deliverer. God has appointed me." See, what if somebody came to you and said, "God's appointed," it would be a little bit far-fetched unless the Lord really had appointed him. Did his brethren believe in him? Probably not. They didn't understand that. It's just like the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came into this earth, did his own people, Israel, believe him? No. He was supposed to deliver them. Came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave him power to become the sons of God. And so we're going to stop right here. They understood not. It's exactly John 1, 10, 11, and 12. The same thing. He didn't understand that he was going to be the deliverer. Do you have any other comments or questions on these verses? Well, I'm glad that Moses was spared. This was God's way of getting Moses out of the palace, wasn't it? And out of Pharaoh's house and leaving Egypt so God could deal with him. How many years was he on the backside of the desert? 40 years. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years on the backside of the desert before he went back to Egypt to deliver his people, then back to the desert again. How many more years there? 40 more. So 40 in Egypt, 40 in the backside of the desert, went back and then back in the desert 40 more. So he's 120 when he died. That's right. All right, we'll start here, Lord willing, next week. And we'll have some more folks. Laura and her group weren't able to make it today. Heavenly Father, help us now to go forth and to honor our Savior and Redeemer, and help us to preach His Word and to live for Him in our words and in our deeds. May we be honorable and honest before Thee in everything we do and say. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. All right, good to have you come out, and Lord bless you.